This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It is Dukes and Bell. 6 o'clock hour brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. So Saturday night, I got home from the Hawks game, and I had totally forgotten about time moving forward. And literally, I'm like, la-di-da, and I'm home, and it's like midnight. And I realize, like, oh, because I got to get up for the Sunday show. And I'm like,
You're on national radio at 6 a.m., mister.
Dude, I literally get in the bed, and Michelle's like, go to sleep. I'm like, what's the deal? And she's like, time moves forward tomorrow. It's already 1:30. And
I'm like, think of it as a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yes. And I'm like, no, it's 12:30. What are you talking about? She's like, it's 1:30 already. I'm like, so, Mike, it didn't dawn on me. And I'm like, oh, crap. So I got like 3 hours, maybe 2.5 hours of sleep because now I can't settle.
And then
I did the show, and literally like yesterday, to your point, I'm only saying this because Mike just said to me, I love this time of year. And so do I. It's great. Springing forward is awesome. But I only got a couple hours of sleep. And so I did the show, and then yesterday, literally, have you ever been just so tired? You're like, I know the time changed, but I'm going to stay up and
right.
Done. Like 6 o'clock, I was done. And I think I slept this morning. I guess my body needed it. I slept like, you know, usually I'm up. I usually have right. 5 or 6 hours, 7 hours at the most. Today, Mike, I slept like 9 hours.
Man, I told you, we were on the Beltline, and we probably did about 6 miles. We went from New Realm and just basically all over the place, from Ponce, you know, down to Scotty McCray's place, down there on the end. And
love
just
that area.
Bouncing around, and good to see somebody. Great running of so many listeners. I always joke around because I got Ike the dog, I got Hasselhoff and Plops with me. Sure enough, this dude, Brian, give a shout out. He's a big listener. He's at McCray's. Comes up to me and goes, man, love the show. Where's Carl? I go, again, we're not Bert and Ernie. We don't go back to a house and sleep in twin beds next to each other with a little
I get it all the time.
On.
When right. I'm down at the arena with FanDuel, dude, right. there are people who come up, oh, man, love you and Mike. Where's Mike? I'm like, is Mike at the game tonight?
Carl lives 50 miles that way,
yes.
and I live over there. But anyway, great time, and a lot of Falcon fans ask me basically, where's the beef? Wondering what's going on. And then later today, like I told this one guy, Jimmy, and I told him at New Realm, I said, they're going to probably cut Grady. And we were telling you guys for about the last couple of weeks, that's probably the most likely place to create cap space. And it's just been such a shock to the system of so many Falcon fans who felt that he was going to finish up his career here. Once he had the ACL and the defense struggles so much, I just thought he was always going to be a likely candidate to get cut.
Well, it's financial. It's just the dollars and the dollars involved. But I also...
I never said that.
But I also think you have to think about this from the Falcons standpoint. Now, just for a second. I believe Grady wanted to be here. There's no debating that. I also think that they had a number in mind. But what are the Falcons also saying about this situation, Mike? When you decide to move on from a proven player who you could pay, are the Falcons saying that they believe in what they have in-house and that those guys are going to be okay? because you have to put that into this equation as well. As much as Grady was like, yo, of course I want to be here and I would love to finish my career here, I also think from the Falcons standpoint, there's two ways of looking at this. One is the financials, and you say, do we want to do this? Because I've said this to you time and time again. There's not a team in this league that if they want to do it, they don't do it. That's why I don't get caught up in the whole cap stuff, because teams go into cap hell and they're like, oh, they still make moves. And you're like, how did they do that? But the other side of it is maybe, Mike, there's an inside the building belief that Rook and some of these other guys are going to be really good. And that is the other part that we haven't discussed or talked about, because, again, we're feeling some kind of way for Grady right now, and rightfully so. He has been the heart and soul of this team, and I love him as a human being, and I put that out there, and he knows that. He listens to the show. But the fact of the matter is, the other side is, hey, if we can't reach a deal, how good do we feel about what we've got?
Look, they better believe that Rook is the best guy. When you move up to get a guy who's just on the cusp of the first round, remember, guys, he's three picks from the first round.
That's right.
He's got to be Grady. He's got to be another. He's got to be that guy. Onyemata, now, we didn't really talk much about Onyemata. We were still under the impression, even though he restructured before last year, we thought he'd probably just get cut too. Onyemata's still here. So it's Onyemata. I don't know, Carl. Are they going to take Zach Harrison and feed him pancakes every day and make him a nose tackle? I don't know. But, I mean, you do need some guys to step up. You have Troy Andersen, who we haven't seen since, like, what, week 7, week 8? He's played 9 games the last 2 years. We have not get to see Braylon Trice. We told you how good he looked, but he got hurt. Man, blew out that ACL down in Miami preseason. Dorlus only played 2 games. You know, Ebiketie's been solid, but, you know, it's time to step up. So that's your defense. So it's going to be a youth movement, and it will be a lot like 2016 again, because you got to get some starters. You got to get an edge. Presumably, you got to get a corner unless they're going to let Mike Hughes shop around and bring Mike Hughes back.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea, if I'm honest. So you better nail this draft. And, you know, the idea of Kirk Cousins getting a draft pick. Guys, I hate to break it to you. It just seems like such long odds. That's why I don't want to argue with Steve Weiss, because, like, he covers the NFL and he knows his stuff. But it just seems like such a long shot that someone's going to give us anything for Kirk Cousins.
Well, the more landing spots, right, supply and demand, the more opportunity we might have to come up with a deal, or somebody to come up with a deal. But right now, it doesn't look like it's going to be in our favor. And you have to the teams that don't make quarterback moves right now are probably the teams at the top of the draft, which means they have a plan. And so that is why it doesn't look like it may happen. Mike, let's talk about some of the moves, or at least the surprising moves to you, because today there's been so much. And listen, we could spend literally 2 hours, and we don't have that kind of time, on all of the moves today and how we think it may or may not affect certain teams. I will tell you that I was a bit surprised, and I'm talking outside of the Falcons, all right? And we lose Drew Dahlman as well. He's going to the Bears. But the Laremy Tunsil situation, the trade, a 5-time Pro Bowl tackle in this league. Now, you know, Tunsil is 30. I mean, he's made some money, but he's really good. The problem is, Mike, the Texans' offensive line wasn't good. C.J. Stroud was sacked 52 times. They are trying to retool that line, and so they needed to do something to acquire some additional picks, and this was a big piece. But, man, Tunsil being traded today, I will be honest. And again, none of this becomes official till Wednesday. I was a little bit surprised at that.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Commanders are going all in. And as we said, you know, if you just simply draft Penix, you're on a rookie deal too, and you're saving that money. And you don't have to worry about that $45 million. And you could have talked to a number of players, whether it was Jonathan Grenard or guys who were not named, you know. There was a top-heavy sort of free agent class last year, and we didn't have any money for those kind of edge rush guys. I don't fault Terry for rolling the dice on Judon and Simmons. They just didn't work out. But right now, I think Falcon fans are coming to this realization, man, we're just 4 years. It was 2021. We were in cap hell. Here it is, 2025. And unless we start making some moves and more restructures of contracts on some of our presumably existing stars for years, like Lindstrom and AJ and Jesse Bates, it's kind of hard to see where we're coming up with some of this loot. So I wanted Charvarius Ward. He signs with the Colts. You and I wanted DJ Reed because he knew Ulbrich. He goes and signs with the Lions. Carolina signs. By the way, Carolina stepped up. They signed their free agent. That was J.C. Horn. They gave him a big contract.
$25 million.
Yep. And then they got Trevon Moehrig from the Raiders, arguably the best safety in free agency. So in our division, Hassan Reddick signs with the Buccaneers. You and I had said, was that a guy you'd be interested in? It's a 1-year deal. But we didn't kick the tires on that. They've also found a way to bring back Chris Godwin. So their wide receiver core is intact.
They're still the team to beat in this division. I mean, we can talk all we want about 6-3. We didn't do a damn thing. We didn't win the division. We didn't get to the playoffs. They did. And they did it the hard way. So That's still the team to beat. And when you talk about Baker and still having Mike Evans and now Godwin's back and what we already know about the guys that filled the void for them last year, that's still the team to beat. I say that now. Was that a change after the draft? And maybe, you know, depending on if we make a move or two, potentially. But I'm with you, Mike, and I think Carolina has improved, especially on defense. That's an area where you've impacted your football team defensively now if you're the Carolina Panthers. 404-726-0929. Many other deals going down, guys, as we talk about, you know, again, this is players agreeing to deals with teams.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All this stuff is pending physicals and all the stuff down the road. But we're reporting all of this because, again, all of this stuff is going to happen. Right. And when it does and starts to happen on Wednesday, you're ahead of the game.
But as D-Led said, we're not going to be day one, tier one players. And that's a shame for some Falcon fans who thought maybe we'd go get that starting corner or that starting edge rush guy. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold, you and I were debating what his market would be all month. Sam Darnold signs for, I got to be honest, a pretty fair deal from where we're standing. $33 million to go to Seattle. So I think you replace Geno, a quarterback with a ceiling, for potentially another quarterback with a ceiling. Both guys kind of struggle in the playoffs. But Geno, of course, went to the Raiders. But Sam Darnold signs. I think if you're the 49ers, you go, Mr. Purdy? Seems like a fair number, and I would offer him a similar contract.
Sam Darnold didn't overvalue himself. And a lot of times that's what happens, Mike, is when they go, well, everybody else is getting 45. Why can't I get 45?
You're not worth
it. I think
it.
This is a smart deal for him. If he plays fairly well, he's 27. At 30, Mike, he's getting another $100 million, maybe more. If he plays really well, then he's probably going to get a lot more. But this is a short-term deal that allows him to get out of it and still make a lot more money, maybe even there or somewhere else. So I think it's a smart deal for him. But he didn't overvalue himself. And I'm with you. I told you I can't pay Purdy $60 million.
No.
I would definitely pay Purdy $35.
What did Fields get?
40 for two.
Okay. And so is he? So again, he's betting on himself in a sense.
Yes.
And we'll see where he goes with that. Where's Russell Wilson? Another, you know, we mentioned because we just talked about Cousins. Where's Russell Wilson going to land?
Don't know where he's landing.
Because I would imagine Russell Wilson is still higher on the pecking order than Kirk Cousins in most teams' minds.
Here's what's funny, though, right? If everything was great with Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll chose Geno over Russ when he spent all those years with Russ.
Well, I always thought.
In Seattle.
We always thought Pete was too mean on Russ, and we realized that Russ was kind of a prima donna based on everything that came out subsequently.
And he traded for Geno. That's what's crazy. Like, it's not as if it just was free market. He could have went to Russ and said, hey, we got, you know, $25 million. He didn't.
Well, the other story now is, now the Giants can still just draft a QB. There was a story 2 weeks ago you mentioned when I was off about Aaron Rodgers going there. Now it just sounds like Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers is really a thing. So the Steelers, after a year, let's be honest, Tomlin needs to make a deep run in the playoffs. You know, his brand is taking a hit. The Steelers' brand's taking a hit. I can't imagine what George Pickens is going to be like when he finds out DK Metcalf's making 10 times what he makes per year. That's going to be awkward. But, man, more egos. Potentially, imagine Aaron Rodgers for Mike. Boy, he's got a PhD in dealing with high-maintenance dudes. And he's going to have one. I think the Steelers tell Aaron he can't do the Pat McAfee show.
I think they tell, if that happens, he's going to do whatever they want him to do. Listen, if anybody can control that situation, it's Mike Tomlin. But I don't know if he can. The big two free agents from the Eagles, before let you hear what our buddy Connor Riley had to say about the Falcons potentially drafting a couple of dogs, Josh Sweat reunites with Jonathan Gannon, his former defensive coordinator in Philly. So he goes to Arizona, and then Milton Williams goes to the Patriots. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, Schefter had him going to the Panthers, and that was squashed, and he winds up in New England, who's got more money than anybody. So New England is making money moves. And unfortunately, you know, if you're the Eagles, Josh went to the Arizona Cardinals. How does Howie Roseman – well, I can tell you this. You know where Howie Roseman's going to be Wednesday? Athens, Georgia.
Oh, yeah, he will be.
I hope. Hey, Terry!
Yeah, he will be. He will be.
Falcons are going to Georgia's Pro Day. Now, obviously, Walker can't go because of the quad, but Michael Williams, everybody else, will be going.
All right, we're coming back. Speaking of the dogs, spring ball. Tomorrow, Kirby speaks, and then these guys get 15 practices, and we're going to learn a lot about what it's going to look like heading towards next fall. You'll hear what Connor Riley has to say from Dog Nation next. All right, Connor Riley, I want to start with hoops first because it's front and center. We got SEC tournament going on or this week, and then obviously selection committee and all the stuff that'll happen getting ready for the tournament. Do you think Mike White has done enough with what they've done here as of late to get into the tournament? What do they have to do in the SEC tournament?
I do. I think they're safely in the tournament at this point. You look at the totality of their resume. I believe they only have one non-T1 loss, meaning AKA all your losses are really good. They've got wins over St. John's team that is going to be a top 10 team, a win over a Florida team, which might be a one seed. They've got a win over a Kentucky team, which is going to be a top 3 seed there as well. So they've got the quality wins. They don't really have any bad losses. As we sit here, they're also ahead of teams like Oklahoma and Texas in the bubble picture, which they've beaten head-to-head. They play Oklahoma on Wednesday night, and I think that's a game where if you win that, you're playing for seeding more so than just trying to get into the tournament there.
I saw the Joe Lenardi bracketology, so it looks good. Ironically, Oklahoma right now on the cusp, they are some of the first four out. So this game with Oklahoma has some importance coming up in two nights.
Yeah, and it's a team Georgia beat earlier in the season. Granted, that game was played at Segment Coliseum, where Georgia has just been a much better team. I think Oklahoma is going to be the hungrier team in this situation, just given what I think what they're playing for and what's at stake with them, whereas this is a Georgia team. They're playing their best basketball of the season right now. They've won four games in a row. They've had double digits in all of those leads. And most importantly, I think you've seen growth from this team in the sense that they're not giving away games like they were earlier in the season. They're able to build those leads in the first half and then maintain them. Or in the case of Vanderbilt this past weekend, play a back-and-forth game in the first half and then go on a big run in the second half to come away with a win. So you've seen this team make big strides of late. They're playing their best basketball entering March. And, I mean, that's a tip of the cap to Mike White for getting what is still, I think, a very young basketball team to be doing that at this time of year, especially with the ups and downs they went through.
Connor, I agree. And, by the way, the Vandy win was big this weekend. I thought that was a big win. Vandy's good. For those who haven't watched Vandy this season, and that was a quality win. We're talking with Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation. Let's shift gears and talk about the Dogs, spring football. Who are guys that you're watching to have maybe a breakout spring?
That's a great question, because there's a mix of guys that played a little bit last year, like a Chris Cole, I think, falls into that bucket. Former five-star inside linebacker. They've got to replace Jalen Walker and all that he brings to the table. I think Chris Cole has a chance to really be that guy. Whereas you maybe look at other spots, maybe a little bit further down the depth chart of guys who I think can play a little bit more, have a little bit more practice time this spring. And I think it's someone like DeMelo Jones. I know we've talked a lot about Ellis Robinson and what he might do. The coaching staff loves DeMelo Jones and what he brings to this team, the toughness that he plays with. And as he enters year two, like, that cornerback position battle is going to be very fierce. And it wouldn't surprise me if DeMelo Jones, who not as hyped up as the five-star prospect that Ellis Robinson was, but we come out of spring talking about DeMelo Jones as a guy that is going to be a contributor for this Georgia team this fall.
Connor Riley, guys. It's K. Connor Riley on Twitter for your Dog Nation fix. We got the big pro day coming up here on, Wednesday? And some of the guys who didn't get invited to the combine, like, the perky Dan Jackson, Carl, and Benjamin Jurecek, Chaz Chambliss. So these guys all get a chance to show. Obviously not going to see Walker because of the quad injury, but we will see Michael Williams.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity first for those first couple of guys who didn't get a chance to go to the pro day, to the NFL combine. Like, I believe Dan Jackson is going to be drafted regardless of whether or not the fact that he went to the NFL combine. I think if you look at the tape that he put out there, he's a better athlete than he gets credit for. And I think he's going to be someone who, whether it's special teams or actually helping in sub packages, has an NFL future, especially just playing at Georgia and everything that comes with that and how they prepare guys for the next year there. I think one of the more interesting things you're going to be watching in specifics here, what is the representation like for the Atlanta Falcons on Wednesday? Because I think this season, maybe more than any other in terms of following the draft, it's become a very real story of, is Atlanta going to take a Georgia player in the first round? But I think also potentially in the second round as well, because we talked so much about the edge rushers in the first round there, whether it be Jalen Walker or Michael Williams. I look at someone like Jared Wilson there in the second round, who a quality athlete, a guy that I think his best football is ahead of him at that center position. And the Falcons just lost Drew Dowman to the Chicago Bears, reportedly, via free agency. And I wonder if there's a world where maybe in the first and second round, the Falcons double dip with Georgia players and they take an edge rusher like Michael Williams at 15, and then the second round come back and grab a guy like Jared Wilson. And I'm wondering just how interested, how into things tomorrow are the Atlanta Falcons brass going to be?
You know people would lose their mind, right? you'd know that, right, if that actually happened. Connor, Dogs brought in 6 transfers this winter. 2 big dogs at wide receiver. What are your expectations for Zachari Branch and former A&M receiver Noah Thomas? I mean, like, I keep talking to people, and they're like, man, these dudes are big, and they can catch the ball. And am I over-exaggerating that what they could mean to this offense?
No, I think Georgia needs them to come in and be difference makers. And these guys have contributed at the Power 4 level before. The early reports on Noah Thomas have been really, really good and really encouraging. And given Georgia didn't have a big-bodied wide receiver, especially down the stretch last season, what he might be able to bring in terms of winning those outside battles and stretching the field vertically, I think can't be understated, especially with what we've seen from Gunnar Stockton in the limited sample size in terms of how he likes to play. And as far as Zachari Branch, you know, 5-star talent, really impactful special teams player, he's still got to develop as a wide receiver. And I think you look at, and I know Georgia fans are going to roll their eyes here a little bit, but you look at what James Coley did a year ago with Arian Smith, and I know drops were an issue with Arian Smith, but the way that he grew in other aspects, I think, was really encouraging for how Georgia might try and use Zachari Branch. Obviously, you hope Branch has the better ability at catching the football, but they need those two guys that they brought in to be instant impact players, if not the best wide receivers on the team next year.
The running backs, you know, we know that Frazier's got all the tools. I mean, are you worried about the fumbles, or is that all behind him now?
It's one of those things of just like, until it's something we don't see for a while, it's always going to be something that you worry about. This and the fumbles thing, even before it popped up in games for Georgia last season, like, he didn't play in the Alabama game because he had issues with ball security in practice. Like, it was not just a 1 or 2 off thing. This was something that plagued him all season long. And even in that Texas game, he had a fumble that Arian Smith was very fortunate to pounce on there. So it's going to be something where, and you've seen this at the NFL level. I think Tiki Barber famously had a fumbling issue early in his NFL career, and then he was able to fix it. I do think a lot of it is mental, and it is something that can be fixed. And that's something I think you can work on a lot in spring. But until we go a long time without seeing Nate Frazier fumble the ball, every time you see him fight for extra yards, I certainly understand if you're going to wince a little bit expecting that he might cough the ball up.
It's Connor Riley, guys, talking all things Dogs. So tomorrow is the first practice. Is that correct, Tuesday?
Yes, practice begins on Tuesday. Pro day is set for Wednesday.
All right, and spring game, obviously G-Day, is going to be April 12th. So how many practices are we talking about total? Is it 15 or 11?
Yeah, I get 15 in total.
Okay, so 15 practices total for the Dogs as we talk about all the things that are going on both sides of the football, guys. And, you know, this is going to be an interesting spring for Kirby, too, you know, and talk about his adjustments just briefly, Connor, when you talk about how he's approached these springs and what he's done differently. Because every spring it seems like he's doing something to enhance the team in a certain way.
Right, and it's going to be very interesting this year just because you see other college programs doing things differently with spring practice. You know, Texas isn't having a spring game. Missouri's not going to have one. So when we get a chance to talk to Kirby tomorrow, of the many things we want to hear about, whether it be injuries, you know, the decision to retain all 10 coaches from last year's coaching staff, what does he see as the value of spring football right now, just given how much college is changing, how much longer these seasons are going, and ultimately what he wants to get out of this team? I think that's one of the fair questions he'll be asked tomorrow, and I'll be interested in seeing what he answers because I think he's going to give a thoughtful answer on the subject.
Bringing it back to hoops before we wrap up with Connor Riley from Dog Nation, going to the big dance, hopefully making it out of the first round. Will that get more Georgia Bulldog boosters and more folks involved? I mean, what more do you need to get basketball really cooking with NIL, you know, with the NIL, and get more of these transfers to come? Because that's what the way I look at what Rick Pitino's doing. I look at what other coaches around the country are doing. What does Mike White need? And hopefully will this build some momentum for that program?
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to phrase it, Mike, is build momentum. They've taken the first step. They've made the NCAA tournament for the first time. in a decade. And like, you look at what Tennessee is doing now. You look at what Auburn is doing now. I'm old enough to remember, you know, those programs were dormant in basketball for long stretches of the 2010s. And because Rick Barnes at Tennessee and Bruce Pearl at Auburn were able to maintain success and build slowly, you've turned them into juggernauts where every year now they're getting top seeds in the NCAA tournament. With Georgia, it's not going to happen overnight. They're not going to bring in a bunch of new talent next year that dramatically raises the floor and ceiling of this program. But they've taken that first step. They've made the NCAA tournament this year. Maybe they're able to win a game. Mike White and his time at Florida never lost a game in the first round, 4-0 there. So next year, can you build off this? Can you go from a team that was scraping and fighting to get into the NCAA tournament, which they did, to a team that is comfortably in the tournament and maybe climbs higher up the SEC pecking order? It's not going to be a quick build, a quick turnaround for Mike White, but he's taken the first big step. And I think there's a reason to believe, especially with what they potentially can have come back next year, to keep building off this and eventually potentially get to the point where they have that kind of success.
Connor, tell the people where they can find you.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. Busy, busy time with Georgia. We got the NCAA tournament next week. Ton of fun. Looking forward to it.
Now the question is going to be, what are we going to do with that 15th pick? Are we going to go corner if the corner is the best athlete available, or could it be a Georgia Bulldog? I mean, man, if Mykal Williams is there, woo, it'll be interesting. And as we said, Jalen Walker is likely going to be gone before we pick based on all the latest mock drafts.
Very interesting stuff from Connor and how this could play out. Hey, coming up, an update on the Hawks. A couple of guys not available tonight as they take on the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll get you caught up on that, as well as the latest around the NFL. Stay right there. It is Dukes and Bell. Been a very, very interesting day. And it is the first day of NFL free agency as deals have been leaked. And we're seeing some brand names change places. But we're also seeing some brand names, Mike, kind of sitting there and nobody really knowing where they're going to end up. The Aaron Rodgers piece is very interesting because I think he probably lands before Russell Wilson.
Right.
That's my guess.
Or does he?
But he might not. You just told me, and we're going to run down a couple more of these guys. We're going to talk plenty more about this tomorrow. We got some NFL guests that are going to stop by as well. Big show tomorrow starting at 2. But you just told me a guy that's from here, from Alpharetta, just signed a new deal.
Yeah, Joshua Dobbs, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, and obviously one of the brightest people you ever meet to play in the NFL. I'm literally a rocket scientist from Tennessee. Signs a 2-year deal with the Patriots.
Mm.
So good for him to back up Drake May. And that's really nice for him. You know, we talked about all the moves that were gone on today. We didn't really mention Devontae Adams signing with the Rams. So Cooper Kupp's out there, which I literally was going to like reach outside inside the internet and choke somebody out. He goes, maybe we should go for Cooper Kupp. No! yes, I'd love if we were like a team that was like the second or third best, you know, getting the quarterback on the ground, I'd say yes. Zach Robinson knows Cooper Kupp be a nice fit for us. But we've got to go, you know, replace 7 guys that started the final game of the season on defense right now, or unless some of these young rookies or second-year players step up.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I mean, look, it's you know what it is right now? It's bread and butter. It's the simple things that right. We need to fix before we start getting into the luxury items. And let's be honest, the last 4 years, guys, think about how we've drafted. Shiny pieces, mm-hmm. right? That's what we've done. So we got to get some bread and butter.
Second, we've waited till the second round to go defense.
Yeah, we got to get some bread and butter in here, man, and fix what needs to be fixed. But as we've been talking about free agency, and again, deals continue to leak, and we're going to get deeper into this tomorrow. Some teams retaining some of their better players. The big news today for Falcon fans, if you're just joining us, is Grady Jarrett was released from Atlanta today, but already had reached a deal before, you know, 3 hours literally later after it was announced.
Right.
To join the Chicago Bears. 3 years, $43.5 million, including $28.5 million fully guaranteed to join the Bears. And so we talked about what this team is and where they're going. And as I said, these decisions, they're made all over the NFL. But it's where you're headed after you make this decision. And certainly, I'm not going to tell you it was an easy decision. These situations are always tough, Mike. And usually, the player really wants to stay. And I don't think that was any different with Grady. It's just you have to do what's best for you, and sometimes that means, all right, you know what, we can't take this deal, we got to move on. But the Falcons also did what was best for the franchise at this particular junction in trying to save additional money to do the things they need to do.
Yeah, as we said, and we kind of, again, we hope you listen every day. Listen as much as you can. Tell your friends. But we did let you know that one of the likely places, to Carlos' point, the Falcons could save some money would be Grady. And because of he was such a big hit. Now, Onyemata, we didn't really talk much about his restructuring the year before, but I thought they still might cut him anyway, but he's still a lesser, percentage wise. I think he's less than 3. I think he's like 3% of the cap. So they're not moving on from Onyemata right now.
When you start getting into the $20 million cap hit guys, there's only a couple of them. And Chris and I were going over this earlier in the show. When you talk about Bates, this is based on their deals, right? Lindstrom potentially. There's only a few guys that really would affect the cap in a way that would help you significantly. The other side of that is you just don't cut guys who can still play, and if you feel like Onyemata can still play at that number, then you keep him.
Right.
My issue is Grady statistically was better last year, but he didn't cost as much as Grady.
Correct.
So,
but, you knew that, and Grady, by the way, we said this earlier, I'm not trying to sound like I'm a shill for the man. Lord knows I make everybody angry at Flowery Branch on a daily basis. But, Grady did make over $106 million from the Falcons in his career. So, for guys who, I saw some of the stuff today on social media, the Falcons, this is football. We're seeing big names, and Grady's been paid like a top five defensive tackle. And then he had the ACL, and like we wish him well. He still landed on his feet, as Carl pointed out. He makes gets a multi-year deal with the Bears, including a $28 million guaranteed signing bonus. So, we are in a place that I think a lot of Falcon fans didn't realize we're still in. And this goes back to those comments made at the end of the season about how they technically, air quotes, budgeted for that $45 million quarterback. Well, if Kirk Cousins was still our star quarterback and Penix Jr. was waiting in the wings, we still wouldn't have enough money to fix our defense this year. That's the truth. That's the reality. So that's why I will die on that hill, and I die on that hill on a daily basis. Always say you do one or the other. And you look at the other teams that are making money moves, they're working with a quarterback on a rookie deal, which just gives you such endless possibilities.
Let me address the trade situation, too, with Grady, because I know the first thought is, well, that's dumb. Why didn't they just trade him? Need a trade partner.
Right. Takes two to tango.
You need somebody that's interested in Grady, and more importantly, here's the bigger part, that wants to pay him the money that he's looking for once he gets there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, we're going to trade for Grady. It's, by the way, what are you going to do? Are you going to give him the money that the Bears gave him? So if not, then you're not going to have a trade partner. So I understand that idea of we should have gotten a couple of picks for Grady. Just didn't. That's not normally how this works out, even though Laremy Tunsil was traded for a variety of picks today. But he's a five-time Pro Bowler, Mike, one of the most, I think, coveted tackles in the league. That may be a different story, and that was something that they had probably been working on for a while. I think the Falcons all along thought they might get a deal with Grady, and then when it came down to nut-cutting time,
right,
he was like, this is not enough. This is not enough, and the Falcons are like, we can't go over this number.
Right, because we thought maybe they would cut Grady over the weekend news dump, kind of like lessen the blow. But yeah, the good news is they were trying to find a way to Carl's point, to get him to stay. And Todd France is like, look, there's a line in the sand. They're not gonna pay for he's not gonna play for less than what the number was they had in their mind. So that's it. So now you look at this defense and say, okay, youth will be served. Young guys are gonna have to play. You may be able to go get some tier two and tier three free agents. But again, the way I look at it, again, we're not capologists, Carl, but it sure seems like we got to restructure another dude or two to create more money.
It feels that way. It does. I felt that way.
Jake got an extension, but we're still, you say we got $10 million in cap space right now?
Right now, it's just not enough. I mean, honestly. And so, and that's with letting Grady go and the savings of what you're getting with Jake. Mm. I just don't think it's enough. Meanwhile, we do need to mention this because the Hawks are in action tonight. And there's one big story in baseball. But the Hawks are going to be without Trae Young tonight and Caris LeVert. They will not play against the 76ers. Trae got banged up the other night, left the game for a little while, ultimately came back in the fourth quarter. I don't know if that thing swole up on him or not. Mm. I think it was a knee, Mike.
Knee hit to knee?
Yeah, knee to knee. And so maybe they're just giving him extra rest, but no Trae tonight, no Caris LeVert. And then, Mike, this is big. Garrett Cole, done for the season for the Yankees.
Wow.
Tommy John surgery. He is their dude.
Wow.
And one of the best pitchers in the major leagues. He's out for the rest of the season. Season hasn't even started, and the Yankees are already like, whoa.
Man, so now even more pressure on Max Fried.
Correct.
Right, kind of step into the breach.
Correct.
And be the man. Now, like the Yankees obviously certainly have the wherewithal if they got to go find some more guys. But still, holy cow, that's a huge hit for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Coming off the World Series.
It really is. So, you know, again, we've been there where our guys have gotten injured and you just, if you feel like you get a gut punch. And look, nobody feels sorry for the Yankees because to Mike's point, if they just want to go buy another guy. But the fact is the market has settled. And all those guys that you might have been interested in, if you would have known this 2 months ago, 3 months ago, you would have tried to do something. This is the risk, man, that you get into. And so we'll see how it shakes out. But remember, the trade deadline, Mike, they'll probably be active and they'll go get the best arm available.
Right on. We talked to our man Grant, and apparently all the young arms are looking good right now. Knock wood, you know, for the Braves. And so I'm getting some encouraging news about Strider and Acuna. So just got to wait to see those guys. But, man, just please, that Jerickson Profar thing was scary as hell over the weekend. Luckily, it's just a bruise.
All right, man, we got to get it out of the way. Hawks basketball on the way. Let's clear our throat. Hey, tomorrow we're talking more ball. We're talking NFL. Our buddy D-Led, Mike. D-Led!
Hey, Falcons, I got no money, Mike and Carl.
He will stop by in the 3 o'clock hour. And then a guy I absolutely enjoy, Matt Verderam, SINFL. Mm. He does a really good job. We'll go around the league with him and kind of recap all the things that are going on and the current things because this ain't over. Today was day one. It's just the start. Make sure you're here. We're talking Hawks as well. And the stuff we didn't get to today because it was such a big day in the NFL.
Mm.
All right, Big O, great job behind the glass as always. Turtle as well. We are going to be out, by the way, on Wednesday, Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram.
Man, that was a big hit for us last time we were out there, man. We packed it. We were the hottest show in Hiram, Carl. Hiramites were getting hyped.
Let's hope they do the same. All right, man. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man. Yeah, I always like to try to finish with some yucks. Unfortunately, I got some serious things to talk about real quick. Thoughts and prayers, guys, when you hit your knees tonight for our man David Pollack's lovely wife, Lindsay. She has brain cancer, and the surgery is up at Duke Medical Center on Wednesday. And Dave, obviously, he's a man of God. So I apologize. I've been thinking about this all day. But anyway, think about those guys for the kids and for Pollack and his family.
Grady Jarrett, man. You're what every player should aspire to be. Fifth round pick with little of no chance to make the league, and you turned it into not only your career, but you turned it into being legendary here in the A. To play in your hometown for 10 years was a blessing. And one day, as Mike said, you're going to be in the Ring of Honor. We just want you to know we thank you for the effort and everything you gave to the city. We love you. We appreciate you, and we wish you luck with the Bears. But you're always going to be a Falcon player. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
just ordered a Grady Jarrett jersey.